Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, happy Friday, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We are so glad to be live on the air. Wow, this ice storm has really thrown us for a loop here, but we're persevering and we're doing some redneck engineering, as they say, to get this program up and on the satellite so that we can broadcast across the country. And we are still, though, dealing with a little bit of a problem with Comcast, which is our phone system. And they have been out for well over 24 hours. So we do not have the phone lines up and running today. So our apologies. We have been trying to reach out to Comcast, but they've gone dark. So we don't know what's going on. But hopefully very soon, they will get those lines back up and running. But if you have Comcast and you're listening to this radio program, at least in the Memphis, Tennessee area, you are probably in the same boat that we are in. All that to say, we still have a terrific show lined up for you because we will not be frozen by an ice storm. No, we're still gonna get to the big stories of the day. By the way, want to point out that last night our good buddy Matt Schlapp made the announcement official that I'll be giving a keynote address at CPAC in Orlando, and I really wish CPAC was this weekend because I could use some sun and relaxation. But we're going to be in Orlando at CPAC. That's coming up in February. Well, it's the end of the month, February 24th through the 27th. And the entire team is going to be there except for Merlot. But everybody else will be present at CPAC. We'll be doing our show there and as well as giving a speech. And we want to see you there. This is going to be incredibly important, especially as we begin the march to the midterm elections in November. So we have some great stories for you over at toddstarnes.com, and I would encourage you to check out the website. Our great managing editor, Caleb Park, is posting even as we speak. So look, many people say, Todd, why are you still so hopeful? Why do you have hope for America? Well, the answer is very clear, and again, this is not a religious program. We're a conservative talk radio program, but like our founding fathers, like the founder of the modern-day conservative movement, William F. Buckley Jr., I believe that what we are dealing with as a country is really a spiritual issue. It's an issue of the heart, more so than it is an issue of politics. When you look at all of the big culture war issues of the day, and here lately we've been talking about just a basic human anatomy is now up for grabs. You've got people out there who are now identifying as men when they're women, women when they're men, men who are now identify as wolves. We were talking about this yesterday. I mean, there's all sorts of chaos in the culture, but it all goes back to one fundamental belief. Do you believe in God? Do you believe that God created the heavens and the earth? Do you believe in the first chapter of Genesis? Do you believe that God made man in his image? If you do believe those things, then you have an understanding. You have a worldview that is viewed through that lens. You know what? 2 weeks ago, I had the cataract surgery, got a brand new lens for my eye, and I see perfectly now. So it's the lens that you see things through. That's your belief system. And there's no escaping this, and I'm constantly reminded of this as I'm writing the new book. I'm constantly reminded that our founding fathers were religious people. Now, they may not have been television evangelists, aside from the fact they did not have television back then, but they were devout in their faith. That's what motivated the pilgrims to come here. That's what motivated our founding fathers to make sure that our first freedom we were given was the freedom of religion, so that we could practice our faith, we could engage in our faith in the public marketplace. And through that lens, that Christian worldview, people of all religious beliefs were able to worship and practice their faith. It was a rocky start. It didn't start out like that here in America, but we got around to it. And that's why our founding fathers called what we're doing here in this country an experiment, the great American experiment, because we're always tinkering with it, right? And we're trying to make it better for the next generation. But here lately, we have seen a regression in who we are as Americans. We have seen our freedoms being stripped away in the name of public safety. How many times have we talked on this program over the past 2 years now of this China virus pandemic, where people are getting in trouble simply for calling it a China virus pandemic? Because, again, in our society, truth is no longer absolute. Everybody has their own version of the truth. Your truth is what they call it. And so what we have to do as a society is hit the reset button. How many times did you ever just think about this for a moment? Did you ever imagine that we would live in a time when the government would say, you have to shut down your church house? You can't go to church on Sundays anymore. Did you ever think that you would live to see that day in America? What about you small business owners out there? Did you ever believe you would see a day where the government would come and say, you have to shut down your business? It's happening today. It's happening right now. So again, when we turn our back on the first freedom, all of our other freedoms begin to waver. And that is what I believe has been happening here in this country. Now, we cannot take your calls, but we can read your comments. And we're going to be checking out your comments on a very regular basis on our live stream, our Facebook live stream. And I want to hear from you on this, because I believe at the root of everything that we're dealing with, it is a moral and religious issue. Everything. You want to talk about wages and paying people and working, work ethic. These are all biblical values and biblical principles. And we're going through a difficult time in this country, but I still have hope. And the reason why is because my hope is not built on a political party. My hope is built on a much higher power. And I suspect that we are about to enter an age in this country where people are going to start standing up and fighting back for their freedom. And I don't mean a physical fist fight. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about engaging the political process, a political fight. That's what I'm talking about. Just want to make sure all of those goons that are listening to us, monitoring this radio program from the basements of their parents' homes, get it right. But we've got hope in America, and the reason why is because of this upcoming generation. Now, there are a lot of moms and dads out there who have been very surprised to learn what their kids have been being educated on in their public school classroom. Now, if you are a longtime listener of this program, and we're going to be celebrating 5 years on the air in July, if you are a longtime listener, you know that we've been warning parents for a very long time about the leftist ideology that's being shoved down the throats of kids across America. But a lot of parents they're busy doing other things. And I get that. And this is why we exist, because we want to be able to report these things and get that information out to you. So anyway, I saw a story just the other day on a group of high school students that are fighting back. And I love this story. So this is out of Washington State, and this is a high school. And again, you're not going to see this story on the national news. If you had a bunch of Black Lives Matter kids marching and walking out of class, yeah, that would be national news. But this was not national news. This was a story that should be national news, but it should also be of great encouragement to us. Now, let me set the stage here. Over the past couple of weeks, now the schools are cracking down on kids because they don't wear the face burkas. And the reason I call it a face burka, by the way, we've got a lot of new listeners out there. The reason why I call this a face burka, because it is a symbol of oppression, just like the burka is a symbol of oppression in Muslim countries. That face covering is a symbol of submission and oppression. That's all it is. So we've, over the past couple of weeks, we were talking about Germantown, Tennessee, here in the Memphis area, where they were punishing the kids. They had the school leaders get up and say, well, you guys, you don't have any right, mom and dad, to make any kind of a comment during a school board meeting. Over in Virginia, you had a school board in Loudoun County, and they threatened to have unmasked kids arrested and charged with trespassing. And so finally, kids are starting to rise up, and they're saying, no, we're just not going to do this anymore. Washougal, Washington, the local high school there, dozens of kids decided, you know what, we're going to walk out. And I want you to hear how these young people handle themselves. It will make you proud.
Hey! Everybody shut up!
Pay attention.
This is not an excuse for any of you freshmen and sophomores to disrespect your teachers. If I hear of anybody disrespecting teachers or staff tomorrow, that makes us look bad. We want this to be a peaceful, respectful movement. We are just trying to gain back our rights as citizens. We do not care about the teachers. In the end, are just doing their jobs. It doesn't come from them. It comes from the state. Now, what we're hoping is that they kick us out. This sounds bad, but we're hoping that they kick us out because they have to report that attendance to the state. And if the state sees a day where 100 or I don't even know how many kids are here are absent, they're going to start asking questions. Our hope is we can get this statewide. Now, I might get in trouble for this, but the plan still stands for Wednesday. For tomorrow, I mean. Everybody is going to meet at the back row of the senior parking lot, and we're all walking into the school with no mask on. You can get me in trouble. They can suspend me. I don't care. We're done with this. And obviously, all of you are, too.
Shut up.
Shut up.
Obviously, all you are done with the mask, too. Now, again, we're doing this peacefully and respectfully. If a staff member asks you to put a mask on, you say no thank you and keep walking. And if they kick you out, then go home. And if people need rides home, then some of the seniors, I'm sure we can start giving people rides home.
I love this. That young man, by the way, if you got to watch the video, we've got the video up at toddstearns.com. It will make you proud to be an American, knowing that these are just kids. We're talking about probably no older than, 17, 18 years old. And I love how this kid, who kind of has the build, he's sort of like a stocky linebacker type, right? He's an alignment, kind of a stocky kid. Reminds me a little bit of John Candy, maybe even John Madden, you know, that kind of a guy. I guarantee you, when he was talking about the freshmen and the sophomores, and Grace Baker, you know, you're just fresh out of college, but you know the freshmen, they like to kind of be goofos.
Oh, yeah, and they like to do stuff to get attention.
Don't be stupid, I'm going to give you a wedgie. That's what they knew what he was saying.
Oh,
he didn't
yeah.
say that part, but they knew what was coming.
Oh, for
they
sure.
They knew there was a price to pay.
Agreed.
But what I love about this, I'm not sure we would have seen young people do this if Donald Trump had not been elected to office. I think just understand that these, so we're talking about seniors who were freshmen when Trump came into office, and they were able to learn from our president, hey, you can fight back, you can take a stand, and you can be peaceful about it. You know, Trump is all about the peaceful protest. And I say, God bless these young people. This is the Trump generation. This is the generation that is going to rise up and save us from these radical leftists who have taken over our schools and are shoving this country down the path of socialism. This is the Trump generation. All right, got to take a break here. ToddStearns.com is our website. I'd love for you to go over to the Facebook page. A lot of people already weighing in. Rachel says, Todd, I shared this video. Go Washington State. We also have another comment. Nikita Khrushchev promised that he would get our children and our grandchildren. It's been happening all along in our schools, and they're absolutely right. Mataku is the person who wrote this. Absolutely correct. And that's why we've got to take a stand. We'll be right back, America.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Friends, last year your dollar lost a ton of value. Inflation rose by almost 7% in just 1 month towards the end of the year. That means in 30 days, your dollar became 93 cents. Inflation is a silent killer. It's a hidden tax felt by everyone. And this administration is only making it worse. Inflation is not slowing down. It's escalating quickly. But gold provides a hedge against inflation and can protect your family's wealth. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold and silver. You have to take the threat seriously, friends. Oil prices are rising. We have supply chain issues. All of this going to compound our inflation problems. You can trust Legacy Precious Metals because they give you unbiased counsel based on your personal situation. It's time to be proactive before you regret it and take steps now to protect yourself. Call Legacy Precious Metals. You can speak to an IRA expert at Legacy Precious Metals at 866-528-1903 or download their free investor's guide at legacypminvestments.com. All right, folks. Good to have you back with us today, and I hope you're doing good wherever you might be across the country. So Nancy Pelosi giving some advice to the Olympic athletes. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But I want you to – I just want you to understand what's happening in China right now. And, of course, after the Chinese took over Hong Kong, it had been under the control of the British for generations. And there were grave concerns at the time that the Chinese would crack down on Western-style democracy and freedoms that the Hong Kong people had. And now we're getting reports that the Chinese are going onto the college campuses, specifically at Chinese University of Hong Kong and Hong Kong University, and they are dismantling these monuments to the Tiananmen Square massacre. Now, a lot of young people will not remember what happened, but hundreds, if not thousands, of freedom fighters were slaughtered by the Chinese in Tiananmen Square. You might remember the iconic video of the lone protester standing in front of a tank and the tank backing up. By the way, that individual was later executed. So there were memorials set up to remember the fallen of that horrible, horrible event. And now they're being taken down. Much like here in America, where you have students that are demanding we remove statues of Thomas Jefferson and George Washington and Abraham Lincoln from our university campuses. I mean, do you see what's happening here, folks? We are mimicking what the communists are doing. Not to mention the horrific genocide of the Uyghur people by the Chinese government. So Pelosi, and we're going to play this audio when we come back from the break here. Pelosi is telling Americans, young people, American young people, not to speak out about any of this, to keep their mouths shut, to not offend the Chinese. Did you ever imagine in a million years that you would have an elected member of Congress, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, tell American young people to keep their mouths shut on Chinese soil? It really does make you wonder if the Chinese have bought off a good many of our leadership on both sides of the aisle. It really does make you wonder. All right, 844-747-8868, our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Our website is toddstearns.com. We'll be right back, America. By now, you've heard me talk about MyPillow and how Mike Lindell is just a great American patriot, and he is, and he has done it again with his all-new My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop these slippers designed to wear indoors or outdoors all day long. Those slippers are made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue, and they're also made with quality leather suede. Now, for a limited time, Mike is offering 50% off his My Slippers. So comfortable, you're going to want to get some for the whole family. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes and click on the radio listener square. Use my promo code Starnes. You're going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including some overstocked items such as individual towels, blankets, comforters, and so much more. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes. You can also call 800-839-8506. Use the promo code Starnes.
I would say to our athletes, you're there to compete. Do not risk incurring the anger of the Chinese government because they are ruthless. I know there is a temptation on the part of some to speak out while they are there. I respect that, but I also worry about what the Chinese government might do to their reputations, to their families.
Ladies and gentlemen, is this who we are as Americans? We're supposed to cower in fear of the Chinese? What's up with that? Now, Pelosi is saying something that is somewhat truthful here. And by the way, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Pelosi is saying one thing that is truthful, that the Chinese probably will come after you. But that's the price we have to pay. And the fact of the matter is, and what Pelosi was trying to, I mean, this was sort of, you got to read between the lines here. What Pelosi was really saying is, if you get in trouble, if you get thrown into prison, yeah, good luck because we're not coming to get you. You're on your own. That's what Pelosi's trying to say here. And we know, going back to Barack Hussein Obama's administration, that Americans get left behind. We know that going from the Americans that were held hostage in North Korea to what happened in Benghazi, where we literally left Americans behind to be slaughtered. So that's what Pelosi's trying to say here. But there's something else going on. And you know, Pelosi's husband, Paul Pelosi, is a venture capitalist. They have hundreds of millions of dollars in investments tied up with the Chinese. And they're not the only ones. Peter Schweizer's book exposes all of this. So Pelosi, not only was she speaking truth here, by saying that the Chinese, they'll probably throw you in jail and we're not going to come to get you. She's also trying to appease those Chinese business leaders so they don't screw up any of their business deals. The same thing with the NBA. That's why people like Pelosi and people like the NBA stars are able to turn a blind eye to the mass genocide of the Uyghurs. And all I can say is, it's thank goodness Pelosi and her crowd were not alive during the lead up to World War II. They would have been the same people who would have had investments with the Nazis. And we all know how that turned out. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868 here in our Liberty University studios. I want to go back and play this audio one more time so you can truly understand what Pelosi is really up to here.
I would say to our athletes, you're there to compete. Do not risk incurring the anger of the Chinese government because they are ruthless. I know there is a temptation on the part of some to speak out while they are there. I respect that, but I also worry about what the Chinese government might do to their reputations, to their families.
Now, I just want you to think about one other item before we move on here. Just think about this one, folks. All you have to do is take out the word Chinese and put in the word Biden administration, and the same thing applies. Anyone who stands up against the rulers in the Democrat Party, their lives will be destroyed. And we have seen this time and time and time again. By the way, that reminds me, Facebook added again, they have deleted a group that had almost, 150,000 members, a convoy, a freedom convoy. So you've got the organizers of this freedom convoy. They're trying to emulate what they're doing north of the border. They're trying to do that here in America. And Facebook deleted the group, just flat out deleted the group. Google and Yelp just announced today that they are now banning any reviews of businesses because of their mask or vaccine mandate. So apparently, a lot of folks are getting online and they're saying, hey, I went to the Red Lobster in New York City and they told me I had to show my vax papers. Well, somebody has been posting negative reviews. So now Google and Yelp are going in and they're deleting all of the bad reviews. We preach on a daily basis on this radio show about how vitally important it is for you to sign up for our newsletter. And it is a free service that we provide to you. And the reason why is we have got to have a workaround here. It's important to get news and information out. And if Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and YouTube are not going to allow you to do that, that's why you need to come to us, because we do. And you can go to our website anytime, 24/7, and sign up for the newsletter. Download the podcast. So Joe Biden, by the way, yesterday, Joe Biden at the National Prayer Breakfast exposed himself for the unrepentant racist he really is. Now, you may think that is a harsh statement, but I don't think so. When you go back and look at the career, the life, and the legacy of Joseph Robinette Biden, it is very clear to me that he grew up in a home where racism was tolerated. So we've got two pieces of audio here. First of all, Biden is sort of forlorn. He's lamenting. And again, this is the National Prayer Breakfast. What this has to do with the Lord Almighty is beyond me. But Biden is talking about the good old days when he could go down and, I don't know, drink, get some water out of the white drinking fountain and eat at a whites-only club. Just take a listen.
You know, when you know one another, when you know, and no matter how badly you disagree, and people think, Rev, that in the days that's divided here, we had a lot of flat-out old segregation that's still in our caucus. But Teddy Kennedy would argue like hell with Jim Eastland, and then they'd go down and have lunch. Didn't agree with one another, but they treated each other with respect even that day.
Yeah, we're just going to go down and hang out, grab a burger with Bull Connor after he gets finished hosing down all the poor black children and unleashing the dogs on them. Got to feed those dogs. They got to be hungry. Can you believe this? These words came out of the president's mouth, ladies and gentlemen, seeming to not have a problem being able to break bread with a bunch of segregationists. I wouldn't do that. Would you? Would you sit down? I mean, these are very vile people. These are the people that stood up and defied their own president, Lyndon Johnson, over the civil rights issue. I mean, if all of these segregationists that Biden was going out to eat over at the Olive Garden, wherever they went to go eat in Washington back in the day, if they had their way, blacks would still not be allowed to vote in the United States of America. Now, imagine for a moment if those words had come out of the mouth of Donald John Trump. He would have been impeached for, what, a fifth time? But it got worse. So Joe Biden described black people, and I'm just going to leave it at that. Let's listen to the president.
I remember sitting on going to a little Catholic grade school in Claymont, Delaware, which is a steel town that was dying. And the bus would go, my mother would drive me to school parking lot. It's called Holy Rosary School. From a little, it's called Brookview Apartments. It used to be Section 8 housing later. And I get out of the bus, I get out of the car, and this is where I-95 runs parallel to these days. And I said, Mom, why are all those kids? It was then called colored. Why are all those colored kids in that bus? Because in Scranton, there weren't any. There were very few blacks. So they're not allowed to go to school with us here in Delaware.
Jeez, Lou, the guy sounds like death warmed over. Unbelievable. But he called the black children colored children. Just, again, just thinking out loud here, what do you think would have been the response from the NAACP and Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton if, in fact, it had been Donald Trump who used that kind of language? What do you think they would have done? What do you think that Don Lemon over at CNN, the most profane name in news,
Crying Negro Network,
thank you, Judge Joe Brown, what do you think they would have done over there? How do you think they would have responded to that? Joe Biden got a complete pass. I'm beginning to wonder if maybe, just maybe, Kamala Harris was on to something during those debates when she called out Joe Biden and his position on opposing segregation of schools, the forced busing of students. You know, I grew up during that era, by the way, back in the late 70s, early 80s, when my dad got transferred down to the New Orleans area. We were in Baton Rouge. And we were going to a local school in the neighborhood, and of course, that was when seventh grade, I didn't know anything about segregation, forced busing. And that was the year that they were segregating the schools in, or desegregating the schools in Baton Rouge. And my school was caught up in all of that. And instead of being able to walk to school, I was going to be bused clear across town. And it was everybody. I mean, everybody was in the same boat. And what happened? Well, you had people packing up and moving out of that area because they didn't want their kids to have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to get on a school bus for 90 minutes. But that's how things were. And Kamala Harris called Joe Biden out on that during the debate. That's why Joe Biden cannot stand that woman. It is like fire and gasoline, those two. Got to take a break here. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Venture X from Capital One is the travel card for people always asking,
where next?
You earn 10x miles on hotels and rental cars, and 5x miles on flights booked through Capital One Travel, and 2x miles on everything else you buy with Venture X. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges. The Venture X card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
All right, Oakdale, California, some exciting news to share with you. The young peoples at Oakdale, the children of Oakdale, are walking out of class at this very hour, and they're refusing to go back over these mask mandates. And I say, good for you. If your governor can get out there at a football game and take his face burka off, and he can eat the cocktail weenies and the chicken wings and take photographs with the big time celebrities and sports stars, then the young people of California should be able to go to class without having to wear a burka over their face. This is from CBS 13 in Oakdale, California. Hundreds of students were banned from class for not wearing their masks. The students say they were following Governor Gavin Newsom's example after photos showed him maskless at the NFC Championship game. And again, if it's good enough for the governor, why is it not good enough for the young people? The students were barefaced, as if that's a bad thing. Their faces were nude. The students were barefaced and packed into the Oakdale High School gym. By the end of the day, there were about 100 students throughout the Unified School District 7 campuses. Many other students ditched their face burkas too. Quote, and this is from a student, if they don't follow by their own rules that they're trying to force upon me, why should I follow them? That's a terrific question. Oakdale parent Melissa Goodman shared pictures of dozens of moms and dads outside their child's school to show support. Quote, they don't want to get in trouble. They don't want to disrespect their teachers, but they also want the right to share their smiles and breathe freely. By the way, the school districts would have no problem if this was about Antifa or Black Lives Matter. If they wanted to protest police officers, the teachers themselves would have joined the picket lines. While the school district braces for more demonstrations, students say that they plan to be on campus without the burkas again. Quote, when you face hardship, just because you're going through a tough time doesn't mean you should back down and give up on what you believe in. I love this. Nolan Harris is the young man I just quoted, a freshman at the school. Could you imagine what would happen if other kids around the country did the exact same thing? Folks, we have the power to stop this nonsense. We have a power to stand up to the people that want us to wear the face burkas. And you mark my words, it's not going to stop with the face burka. It's going to get worse. And soon, all of us are going to look like those poor ladies over in Saudi Arabia where they have to keep themselves covered from head to toe and they have the little eye slit. Do not be, folks, you think, now, Todd, there you go again. That's just absurd. Stop with the hyperbole. You think it's hyperbole? You go back, 5 years ago when we launched this radio program, if I would have said into the great, big, beautiful, huge microphone that we have, if I would have said, can you imagine a day if you don't stand up for your rights, they're going to shut down your church houses, they're going to shut down your businesses, they're going to make you wear a face covering, you would have laughed me out of the building. But folks, I'm telling you, as an observer of the culture, I write books about this. This is the world I live in. And I see where this is all going, and it is a very, very, very bad place. So we have an obligation to stand up alongside these kids. And, yeah, the kids are protesting on campus. Moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, taxpayers, you ought to be standing off campus protesting. And this ought to be happening in every single city, every single town across America. So I say good for you, Oakdale High School. You guys are taking a stand and making a difference. That's what's going on here. By the way, during the break, and we've got our good friend Mary Walter coming up from New Jersey, I want you to text this number here. Our good friends over at Liberty University celebrating 50 years of training Champions for Christ, and they have some incredible online programs. And some of you are thinking, you know what? I'd like to go back to school. I'd like to finish up my degree program. Well, you can do that now. All you need to do is text my last name, Starnes, to the number 49596. That's Starnes, Starnes, to the number 49596. And Liberty University is going to send you some great information on wrapping up your degree, or maybe you just want to start a degree program. It's a great opportunity. Again, that's Starnes to the number 49596. We'll be right back, America.
Wingstop's doing what they do best, taking flavor to the next level. So when chicken sandwiches only came in spicy and plain, Wingstop said, nah, make it 12 flavors. Lemon pepper chicken sandwich, OG hot, mango habanero. You get the picture? Every famous Wingstop flavor, now on the new Wingstop chicken sandwich. try all 12 and find your favorite at Wingstop, where flavor gets its wings. Huh.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Well, Teresa writes it on the Facebook Live page. Todd, you forgot to mention that today is Hunter Biden's birthday, also known as Be Nice to Your Local Crackhead Day. So, well, there... Teresa, that is very thoughtful of you, and I guess I should have gone down to the Hallmark store, but everything's closed here. I mean, everything, it really is. We don't handle the ice down here in the South very well. It's so everything's shut down, but it is a good thought. I prefer, you know, Parmesan cheese day. But that's just, you know, we're just trying to be cordial. So anyway, welcome to hour two of the big show. Good to have you with us today. And we are still frozen over here. And as a result, Comcast, there is a massive phone outage, which means we cannot take your phone calls today. I mean, you can try, but the last we checked, the phones were still down. Grace, just to make sure, we did pay the bill. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. I just wanted to make sure. All right. Because you never know. No, in all seriousness, Comcast down here in the Memphis area. And this just is a great reminder of what happens when you put liberals in charge. We have the worst infrastructure in all of America. I mean, the Mississippi River Bridge, which they call the New Bridge, which was built back in the 1960s, they call it the New Bridge. And they had to shut that thing down for a long time because they said there was a crack in the bridge. It wasn't a crack. It was like a canyon. And we're surprised the bridge didn't collapse into the Mississippi River. But look, we've been controlled by Generations for Democrats here, and they just turn a blind eye when it comes to infrastructure. And there are more important things, like getting rid of all of the statues and renaming one of the streets after Black Lives Matter. Look, they're all over that kind of stuff. But when it comes to, like, taking care of the infrastructure, not so much. That being said, 17 degrees tonight, and you've got 130,000 customers without power. Usually multiply that by, I don't know what, 3-4 people, and you'll get an idea of how many people are probably going to have frostbite come morning time. Want to go to our friends over at the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, the great Mary Walter from New Jersey. And Mary, I guess you guys are used to this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I was just having this conversation with Grace. We just had a snowstorm. We had a blizzard last week. We had 17 inches of snow here at the Jersey Shore. And some a little bit further south of us along the Jersey Shore, they had like 21, 22 inches of snow. So,
but at least you can like walk on the snow. I mean, it's a little difficult. But the ice, you can't.
That is very true. Ice is a game changer. But I was saying to Grace, I would think that, you know, if you live in an area where you get ice frequently, which the further south you go, the much more likely you are to get ice storms rather than snow. And ice has a tendency to take down trees and power lines and things like that. You would think that generators would be more of a thing.
Well, you would think so, but... Last year, we got like 2 feet of snow, and no one here had a snow shovel in the entire city. I was using a shovel, an actual shovel, and a leaf blower. That doesn't work, by the way.
No. See, like here, I was saying, you know, because we get blizzards. We had, you know, we had whiteout conditions last week when we had the 17 inches of snow, and we get hurricanes. So pretty much every house at the Jersey Shore has a generator. Businesses have generators so that when the power goes out, you just hear it. You just hear, like, all around the neighborhood, you just hear all these engines starting up, all these motors. As soon as it's out, within 15 seconds of the power going out, all the generators start up. And then you have heat and you have light and your refrigerators keep going and all that good stuff. But that's one thing. If it's cold, you can always, put your food in containers and put it outside to keep it from spoiling. That's a good thing.
And that's what we did yesterday. Someone was very kind from one of the sausage companies, William Sausage. They make great sausage.
Ooh, that sounds good.
They brought by 3 cases of it.
Ooh.
And so we said, just leave it outside. We'll get it. We'll pick it up on the way out the door. But yeah, we were in the liquor store warning. You know, the National Weather Service, I don't know what they do up there, but they issue the liquor store warning area for storms. Yeah. So you have the bread and milk advisory, and then you have the liquor store warning. That means you got to get to the liquor store.
Wait, is this a real thing?
I don't know, but I think it is. I don't know.
This is like a real thing. I was like, right? I understand the bread, because you have to have enough provisions to make French toast, because that's apparently what everybody does, bread, eggs, and milk. And if you can't make French toast, then the world ends. So everybody runs to the store to be able to make French toast.
There you go. There you go. So you, look, you just got to do what you got to do to survive. That's
exactly. Well, I feel sorry for the people who are going to be cold. And I would assume that you have like warming areas where people can go within cities, so that if it's really cold, they can go be warm in this government building, which has a generator.
Well, that was the general thought until we got a note late yesterday that that the warming center was having to close because they lost power. So,
okay, that kind of negates the whole warming center idea.
Yes. So look, right. I am enough of other people. They call this OPP. Oh, is it other people's weather? OPW. And, you know, we're not supposed to talk about that on the radio, but we just kind of like to let people know, hey, look, you know, we're not in an ivory tower. We're among the people. And so here we are.
All right.
All right. Let's start with this story out of the University of Pennsylvania. This is a fascinating story involving the women's swim team. The latest update here is that a bunch of the women on the team have actually written a letter, the Washington Post all over the story. They don't want a guy on their swim team anymore.
Of course they don't. And I think they made a really good point in that letter where they noted that biology is different than gender. And biologically, they said that we don't have a problem with people with transgenders. We don't have a problem with someone, you know, making that choice. Just like I don't have a problem. If you want to do that, go knock your socks off. I don't care. It's just that, you know, your rights end where mine begin. And that's the point of this letter, that her rights end where theirs begin, because there are biological differences between men and women. And these young ladies on the team who signed this letter, I think 17 of them signed this letter, I didn't know there were that many people on the swim team, signed this letter saying, look, you know, she has a biological difference advantage over the rest of us, and it's not fair. And I'm sure there's going to be a ton of blowback over this. I can't imagine what the university is going to do, because now they're going to have to acknowledge the fact that biologically men and women are different.
Well, they are, and they refuse to answer a very simple question. Matt Walsh has been making headlines for asking this question: what is a woman? And the question should be asked: what is a man?
I feel like a woman thing, you know, again, you can go do what you want to do, but if you come to work, like what if I'm an employer and, you know, Matt has this book, you know, and he comes to work and he's dressed as a dinosaur, right? Because today he feels like a dinosaur. These people, these furries, these people who like dress up in animal costumes and pretend they're animals. And so am I supposed to now as an employer engage in your delusion that because you feel like you're a kitten, that you get to come to work dressed like a kitten and walk on all fours, and somebody's got to walk you if you have to go to the bathroom? I mean, is that where this is going? And I don't mean to degrade people who truly, you know, like go through the surgery and do the whole thing. That's fine. But I will tell you, I do know two men who became women who transitioned. And they are adamant that children should not be allowed to do this. They are adamant that it should be only, you know, after going through, you know, years of counseling as they did. They still acknowledge, though, that they are biologically different, despite even having the surgeries that are required and they go through the hormone treatments and everything else. The fact is they still cannot have a baby because they don't have the biological equipment to do that. And they will acknowledge that. And even they think that this is way out of control, and that it also kind of demeans the entire process, what this all started out to be. They've taken it to the point of ridiculous. And now they feel like, you know, we're getting laughed at because of them. And I think they're right.
Oh, yeah. Well, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, our good friend Mary Walter Mary, the other big story we've been following on the program is CNN. Jeff Zucker stepping aside. This is a huge scandal. Megyn Kelly says there's more to it, that there's a lot more that's going to come out, and more heads are going to roll.
Well, I posted yesterday, I'm like, would the last person to leave CNN please turn out the lights? They have, I mean, Greg, who was it? Was it Tucker Carlson or Greg Gutfeld said, you know, Jeffrey Toobin's the only one who hasn't assaulted somebody or doesn't, you know what I mean?
No, he's kept his hands to himself. No, he's the only one who's kept his hands to himself.
Exactly.
Literally.
That was the line. Yes, thank you. There, those who take the moral high ground and tend to lecture others tend to be the ones who are hiding the most. And this is what the left does a lot. You'll notice this on a political level. They do the same thing that those at CNN do. They accuse you of doing what they're doing. You know, and this is why when it comes out, this comes back to you. But from what I've read, and I'm sure you've read as well, this goes back to the Cuomos.
Yes, that's the scandal here. It's and Jake Tapper, Brian Stelter, and by the way, Stelter could be on the hot seat because he's supposed to be, you know, Mr. Reliable sources or whatever they say.
Yes,
he's the guy that's supposed to be their ombudsman, and he turned a blind eye to all of this.
Of course he did. Oh, come on, Brian. I laugh when I see the headline, Reliable Sources, and Brian Stelter's name. I just laugh because he's everything. But they have become a clown show over there. They have clowned themselves because they go so far and so do the ridiculous. And they ignore so many stories. They're wrong on their they spew opinion as facts. And they have become the tip of the spear of what our media has become. And I think you're going to start to see more of this. I think CNN's going to, I mean, how many people watch CNN? Five? I mean, their ratings are horrible. Once you're no longer held captive in an airport, once that deal ended, their viewership just went down and down and down and down because it's so biased and it's just so ridiculous that they've done this to themselves. And now you add all this stuff in on top of it.
And
they're going to go down. I see CNN going down and just dissolving and not being around anymore. And I just, as I said, I think that's the tip of the spear. You watch, I'm not connected to CNN, but there's going to be more of this as well with other outlets, I think.
And when you and I grew up watching, I mean, when CNN was CNN, it was news and they had a couple of, you had what, Larry King Live, and then you had Crossfire.
And you had the Scud Stud, remember?
Oh, the Scud. Well, I mean, for some, he was the Scud Stud. But
I don't even remember his name. I just knew he was the Scud Stud, but I don't remember his name. It was because of the war, the Iraq War, that they came of prominence because they actually did news reporting.
That's right. They did, and they kept the opinion out of the news. But I'm wondering. I think those days are gone. So the question now is, okay, somebody, whoever's going to be in charge. I know they've got three interim chiefs in there, and they're all left wingers. But I'm wondering if they could actually go out and find somebody who could bring them back to more of a centrist network and actually compete with Fox, which, by the way, is becoming a centrist network.
It is becoming absolutely. You're 100% right on that. Here's what I see, though. I'm looking, and it's so funny because I'm such a glass half empty kind of gal. But I see things turning around. You've got Jon Stewart warning about cancel culture. You've got Whoopi Goldberg getting hit, granted, a 2-week vacation, basically, compared to what they did to Roseanne, right? And what they did to what happened to Sharon Osbourne. But Whoopi Goldberg is of color, and Roseanne and Sharon are not. So it's okay. And they were also on the other side of the coin, of the political divide. This is all starting to come back and consume them. Like, this is what happens with liberalism. They go so far to the left, it winds, you know, the dog winds up eating its tail. The snake eats its tail. That's what happens. And they start to consume their own. And you're starting to see more people on the left, Bill Maher, right? Jon Stewart, and others coming out and saying, whoa, 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 we got to pump the brakes here. This is becoming too much and you're going too far. So I think that as CNN consumes itself, they almost have to pump the brakes and go back the other way and try to become what they once were because they've destroyed themselves.
That's an interesting observation. And I do think they have the ability. I mean, if anybody's going to stop the cancel culture mob, it has to be the left. They created the monster. They've got to deal with the monster. Arthur Kent was the Scud Stud.
Oh, okay.
The Canadian guy.
Okay. He was Canadian?
Canadian, yeah.
Wow, I wonder what happened to him. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, he's still alive.
I want to know how he aged. That's my big question. I just want to know. You know what I mean? God giveth and God taketh away, so.
I forgot all about that. That's, there you go. Wow. All right, Mary, we got links to all your socials over on the live show blog. We're gonna have to wrap it up. I didn't realize the time was escaping us.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. It was great talking to you, and I hope you stay warm.
Hey, thanks, Mary. Mary Walter, everybody, from the cold tundra of New Jersey is where it is. So we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
Well, some new video surfaced. New York City Mayor Eric Adams. Jeez, hello. Guy was speaking at what appears to be a church, and he was talking about back in his day in the police department when he had to deal with all those white police officers. And here is the quote. We're going to get this audio for you a little bit later on. The mayor said, this is before he got, this was on the campaign trail. This was not like yesterday. But this gives you some insight into who this guy really is. He says, every day in the police department, I kicked those crackers' ass. And I don't know how many times we have to tell people of Mayor Eric Adams' ilk that this kind of language is inappropriate. I mean, it's not like he's a country music singer. Country music singers are allowed to use the word cracker, much like the rap artists are allowed to use the N-word. Only country music artists are allowed to use the C word, cracker. That is reserved for Caucasian. That is reserved for people of the Caucasian persuasion, that particular word. So why is Mayor Adams allowed to get away with this kind of racist language? How is that possible? I just don't understand. But I tried to say that with a straight face. I really did. But the reality here, and the mayor needs to understand, I don't care. If he wants to call me a cracker, he can call me a cracker. But for the record, I prefer to be called a saltine American. If you're going to call me a cracker, at least get it right. You hyphenated a person, you. I'm just saying. It's crazy. But, yeah, so anyway, Eric Adams, speaking at some sort of a church campaign event, says, every day in the police department, I kicked those crackers' ass. Mm-mm-mm. Oh, that racist language. I can only imagine.
Kill Whitey!
That was a great movie, by the way. Grace, what are you laughing at?
I just think that clip's funny. And I love it when you're not expecting something and we pull something on you. That's all.
No, it's true. I'm
sometimes
cracker, whitey, you know. It's. But would you agree with me that the only country music artist should be able to use the C word?
If you say so.
No, so seriously.
I like the saltine comment.
I am proud to be a saltine
American.
That's
hilarious.
I mean, there may be rich crackers out there in the bunch, but I'm a saltino. I'm down to earth.
I'm not even going to.
No, we don't want to go there.
No. Nope.
Hey, got to take a break, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Venture X from Capital One is the travel card for people always asking,
where next?
You earn 10x miles on hotels and rental cars and 5x miles on flights booked through Capital One Travel and 2x miles on everything else you buy with Venture X. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges. The Venture X card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
We'll be right back. All right, folks, welcome back to the Liberty University studios here in beautiful Memphis, Tennessee. You know, every time that you connect to an unencrypted network, if you're, let's say you're down at the coffee house, you're at a hotel somewhere, let's say you're in the lobby of the beautiful Peabody Hotel, the Grand Hotel of the South, and you're online, you're doing your work. Folks, your online data is not secure. I mean, anybody, any hacker on the same network can actually gain access and steal your personal data. That's not going to happen with me, and the reason why is because I use a great product called ExpressVPN, and they do a terrific job of securing an encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so it cannot be hacked. It is super simple to use. All you have to do is fire up the app and click one button, and boom, you are protected. I would strongly encourage you to get yourself together with the good people over at ExpressVPN. Here's where you need to go. All the information, expressvpn.com/starns. That's my last name, expressvpn.com/starns, and get your computers, get your digital world protected. All right, 844-747-8868. Ben is our toll-free telephone number. Want to bring you up to speed on a weird story happening out of Middle Tennessee. This is around the Nashville area, where there is a fierce fight that's developing, that's unfolding in the 5th Congressional District between the MAGA World candidate and the Trump-endorsed candidate. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend, one of the best political analysts I know, Steve Gill, joins us. Hey, Steve, how's it going?
Hey, Todd, great to be with you.
So, Steve, maybe you can explain the story here. You have a former Trump staffer, Morgan Ortegas, and then you've got Robbie Starbuck, who is the darling of the MAGA world, and they're both running for the same congressional seat.
Well, and there's others that are actually from Tennessee that have some Tennessee conservative values that may yet get in the race. Andy Ogles, who is the mayor of Murray County, Columbia, Tennessee, where they host Mule Day each year. You've probably been to Mule Day, or at least know of Mule Day. He's a conservative who was fighting against the vax mandates, not against the vaccine, but against being forced to mandate the vaccination of kids in their schools and others. So he's on the sidelines at this point, but possibly looking to get in. But then you've got the two big names that are getting a lot of attention right now. Morgan Ortegas Weinberger. She is a woman from Florida, has worked in D.C. and then for the State Department in Baghdad, and has credentials in Washington, but only moved to Tennessee a few months ago to run for Congress, only registered to vote in Tennessee in November of 21. So her first vote she can ever cast in Tennessee will be for herself. She has pledged her loyalty to Joe Biden right after he got elected. Her husband, Mr. Weinberger, worked as an associate legal counsel in the take your breath real quick, in the Obama White House.
What?
She and her husband were married by their good friend and neighbor, Ruth Bader, let me kill some babies, Ginsburg. The story that's coming out on this woman is just, you know, she was also one of the top spokespeople for Jeb Bush for candidate against Donald Trump when she was speaking on behalf of Jed, comparing Donald Trump to a petulant, immature teenage boy and referred to him as disgusting on several counts. This is who Donald Trump, without any actual knowledge of who she was, other than somebody saying, oh, she worked in the State Department, this is who Donald Trump endorsed before she's even in the race.
And by the way, Steve, this has all been brewing now, and this has been sort of simmering for several days since the president's endorsement came out. And we're getting word that the president is doubling down. He is still affirming his endorsement of Ortegas, and he says he just doesn't know Robbie Starbuck.
Well, and it's interesting, you know, nobody knows Robbie Starbuck, and Starbuck is, by the way, his name is actually Robert Newsom. He has changed his name, well, not even legally. He's just going by Robbie Starbuck. I'm not sure why Robert Newsom wasn't good enough, but he only moved to Tennessee about 3 years ago. He was a Hollywood producer of, and I don't use the term lightly, pornographic rap videos.
What?
Over a career of 10 or 15 years. there's one, and again, we can't play it on the air, Todd, but there's one that he did for Ty Dolla Sign and Gucci Mane called Enormous that talks, that features, and again, not just produced by Robbie Newsom, Starbuck, but directed by Robbie Newsom, Starbuck, that features naked black women writhing as Gucci Mane sings about guns and oral sex and everything else, that was directed by Robbie Starbuck 3 years ago, just as he was moving to Tennessee. Robbie Starbuck has never voted in a Republican primary in Tennessee either. These are people from California, from Florida and D.C., who are dropping into this new 5th district thinking, oh, these dumb hick rubes in Tennessee won't figure it out. I can pretend to be whatever will get me elected. So with, in the case of Morgan Ortega's Weinberger, so she can get back to D.C. She's never been to a PTA meeting in D.C. She couldn't find Hohenwald, Tennessee, in the district on a map. And she wants to go back to D.C. Just today, she was on Fox News, you know, commenting on what's going on in Ukraine from D.C. She's not even in Tennessee when she's doing her commentary.
So just so we're clear, so President Trump endorsed her. So the Robbie Starbuck, meanwhile, has the endorsements of Candace Owens, Madison Cawthorn, Sebastian Gorka, and Marjorie Taylor Greene. Just so we're all clear about this.
I don't think any of them have seen the enormous video that he produced and directed for Gucci Mane. I don't think they've seen it. And I don't think that's going to play well.
I don't think I've seen
it. At the Churches of Christ in the 5th Congressional District, or the Baptist churches. I don't think most of the ministers in the district have seen it yet, but I'm guaranteeing you they will see it soon.
So Starbuck saw, he was following my Twitter feed, and I posted an item last night, Steve, and he sent me a message. I haven't returned his call yet. He says none of this is true. He's been voting, and nobody has a problem with him in the Republican Party, the whole nine yards. But here's what I wrote that caused the telephone call. I am certain there are plenty of conservative Tennesseans, that's all caps, in the 5th Congressional District who are well qualified to run for Congress. That's what I don't get, Steve. Why do you come in? And I just have a, I had a problem when Hillary did it in New York. I got a problem when Republicans do it. You know what? If you want to run for Congress, stay in California and run.
Or in D.C.
Or in D.C.
You know, or Morgan Ortega's Weinberger. I mean, D.C. Morgan simply wants to do a touch base in Tennessee so she can get back to Washington, D.C. And then if President Trump runs, or if a Republican runs and gets elected president, she'll be diving back into the administration somewhere because, yeah, it's obvious that's where she really wants to be. You know, Robbie Starbuck is claiming, oh, yeah, I've voted. It's like, well, not in Tennessee. And the records are clear. He has never voted in a Republican primary in Tennessee. Now, he went on a local radio show and claimed that he had voted in primaries in Tennessee. And now he's claiming he misunderstood the question, that he voted in Republican primaries in California, and he just thought they meant Tennessee, because it's so easy to confuse Southern California and the rural 5th district in Tennessee. I mean, the beaches are almost identical, Todd.
Yeah. Well, I will say this. I would say California values rule in Nashville proper because of all the Hollywood and music types that have pretty much ruined that once great city. But beyond that, it is a very conservative area. And my first question would be, find Buck Snort Tennessee on a map. And if they can't do that, you're out of here.
Or trying to spell Hohenwald.
Or Hohenwald. That's true. That's even tough for some of us Tennesseans. But to your point,
it's interesting that Donald Trump tweeted or today and made a point that he didn't know Robbie Starbuck. He understands he voted for Obama. Now, the only way Trump would be thinking that is if Robbie Starbuck or Robert Newsom, as he was then before he changed his name and changed his address, if he had tweeted or if he had posted or made some comment as he was catering to his black rap artist, and we're talking guys like Snoop Dogg and others, this guy was in that culture. I'm sure he told them or publicly stated, oh, I voted for Obama too. I'm one of y'all. And now he's claiming that he lost his career in Hollywood because he came out for Trump, although there's no evidence he ever came out for Trump.
Now Steve, and again, I want you to, if I'm off base here, you know, just haul me back on the wagon. The reason this is important, I think the reason why this is important is we've got to get these candidates right. We saw what happened when Republicans in Georgia played that identity card, Brian Kemp naming Kelly Loeffler, primarily because he wanted to name a female senator. And we saw how that worked out. Now you've got two Democrats in the U.S. Senate from Georgia, one of whom is a raging communist. They do not reflect the values. But the problem is we had some problems in the primary race and ultimately who the nominee was.
Well, and I think some of these, you know, the Cawthorns and the Marjorie Taylor Greens and others, when this district was, before it was redrawn by the legislature just recently, was Davidson County, their thought was, oh, this is a guy of Hispanic heritage. His you know, now sometimes he will play it like, oh, my family and I fled from Cuba. It's like, you know, again, too cute by half. His mom left Cuba when she was four in the 60s. I mean, it's not like he got on a little boat and paddled his way from Havana to Miami, but he's playing that. So it's like, oh, he's got this Cuban heritage story. He's got a man bun, slicked back hair. He looks a little bit like AOC, wears the skinny jeans and talks the talk of somebody who's read and is very capable as kind of like an actor. The same thing is really kind of true of Morgan Ortega Weinberger, in that she's going to be a creation of the media. Again, both of these guys are much like AOC, a creation of the media, saying what plays to the base, in her case, the far left, in these guys' case, to the far right. But it's talking points, and it's not reality. And I think Republicans have to be smart not to play the identity politics of, oh, we need a Hispanic woman from Florida to drop in here and teach us rubes how to send somebody to Congress. We need a vaguely Cuban man bun hip hop kind of guy to help us get the vote. Maybe that would make sense if it was still the Davidson County urban district, but now it's Murray County, Columbia. It's about half of Williamson County, just south of Nashville. It's Lewisburg, Tennessee, Marshall County. These are urban rejects in many cases, where people have fled and rejected the policies of urban Nashville to get to the countryside and the suburbs and have Tennessee values, not trying to import them from California or D.C. Or Florida.
Steve, so I'm really curious. I mean, you've got a pretty good ear to the ground when it comes to the Republicans, the actual Tennessee Republicans. It feels like the 5th Congressional District has been hijacked and we don't even matter anymore. So, and I'm wondering, what are Republicans in the state, what are they saying about all of this?
Well, they're trying to hijack it again with Robbie, whatever his name is today, Starbuck, you know, wherever he voted. He has not voted in any Tennessee Republican primaries. As you know, they keep the records. The same thing with Morgan Ortega. She only registered to vote in Tennessee in November, just a few months ago. Her first vote she would ever cast would be for herself here. So, you know, they haven't been to PTA meetings. They haven't been to high school football games. You know, the culture of Tennessee that people live and work and embrace and enjoy. But there is, you know, there is some hope. Again, you've got Andy Ogles, who's, you know, a lifelong Tennessean, has actually done things, has been a conservative, not just in talk, but in action. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of effort to get him to get into the race. He may do it. You know, there's others that may decide, you know, I'm going to get in. You know, also, a part of West Wilson County, which is the west portion of Wilson County, Lebanon, Mount Juliet. Again, these are suburban and rural residents that have those conservative Christian values that reflect Tennessee, not California and D.C./Florida.
Now, and here's why this is important, Steve. Again, we're talking about very conservative Bible Belt. And if, in fact, let's just say Starbuck is the nominee, and what you said is true, is accurate about the videos and all that kind of stuff, you know the Democrats are going to be all over this. That will be a campaign issue. And good, God-fearing Baptist, I don't care how conservative they are, they're not going to go and vote for a person like that.
Well, and they're not. The Democrats in the left may not attack him during the primary.
They will in the general.
Yeah, wait till he's the nominee. And again, when you go back, this is a guy, and again, it's only slowly coming to light. When he got married to his wife, who's also an entertainer who goes by the name Matriarch and is kind of this goth character, their wedding cake featured, you know, black and white skulls and crossbones. It's She was carrying black roses. It wasn't your traditional Lottie Moon offering Southern Baptist wedding. Let's just say that.
Thank you for that visual, Steve.
Nor was Morgan Ortega's Reinberger when Ruth Bader Ginsburg marries she and her husband. And again, I'm not going to question anybody's faith, but she converted from Christianity to Judaism while she was working in Baghdad just about 13 years ago. So is it a lifelong faith? Is it a contrived faith? And what about Jesus did she decide to reject? I mean, these are legitimate questions if you're going to represent the buckle of the Bible belt.
Yeah. Steve, we're going to have to wrap it up there. You know how this goes. We're going to have to take a break here, and we're coming up on a hard break. Great intel, and we're going to be reaching out again and talk more national, but this is a state race that is developing national attention, and we appreciate you shedding some light on what's going on. Thanks a lot, Steve.
It's a freak show. Stay tuned.
All right, folks, got to take a break. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
It's finally here. The Macy's Friends and Family Sale with an extra 30% off gifts they'll love. Get an extra 25% off dressed-up designer looks for kids from Calvin Klein and more, plus an extra 25% off Samsonite and Delsey luggage. With great prices from top designers, Macy's has all the best deals you won't want to miss this week. And don't forget to sign up for a Macy's card or use a coupon to get 15% off beauty products they'll love this season. Click here to download the Macy's app today for great holiday deals at Macy's.
Hey, folks, a little bit of breaking news coming out of the RNC. The Republican National Committee has voted overwhelmingly to censure Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger for being a part of that January 6th sham committee. I mean, it's a kangaroo court over there. So that is good news. And I'm not sure they really had any other choice. By the way, the Republicans meeting in their general session for their winter meeting over in Salt Lake City. We had one of the state leaders, the executive director of the Tennessee Republican Party, Scott Golden, on the show. Not surprised. I don't think this is going to stop Cheney or Kinzinger. Well, it'll stop Kinzinger. He's not going to run again. But Cheney is doubling down, and all of the establishment Republicans, George W. Bush, that crowd, throwing in, giving their support, giving their money to Liz Cheney as she's fighting for her political life out in Wyoming. So we'll see how all that plays out. I don't think it's good news for Liz Cheney. I really don't. And, again, she's a conservative, but she hates Donald Trump. And it bothers me when people are, oh, she's just a closet liberal. No, she voted with the president over 90% of the time, well over 90% of the time. So you can't say that. But clearly she has a flaw, and that flaw is a stubborn streak that she inherited from her dad. And by the way, that stubborn streak got us involved in a war in Iraq that we had no business being involved in. So she's got to figure all of this out, and it has ruined her career, her political career. I just don't see how she can. I mean, they were talking about her being a presidential candidate a couple of years back. I mean, this is how far she's fallen. All right, look, got to take a break here, pay some bills. We're coming back for hour three. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Ring in the holiday with gifts, decor, and more at Lowe's. Save on top DeWalt gifts this holiday, like the 20-volt max brushless two-tool drill kit. Was $229, now $149. And choose a DeWalt 20-volt max brushless drill or impact driver kit. Both are $99 for a limited time. Browse online, then come join the holiday excitement in-store. Start your holiday shopping now at Lowe's. Valid through 2/1/23.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, hour three of our extravaganza. We're going to get to what Whoopi Goldberg had to say. Oh, my gosh. Folks, it's just unbelievable. You know, they accuse Trump of being all these horrible things when, in fact, the people accusing him are the ones who are the true offenders. That's the gist of all of this. That's the lesson, the life lesson that we should be learning from the squawking magpies over at The View. I don't watch that program. Too much testosterone for me, especially that early in the morning. All right, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. This is Jen Psaki, Little Red Lion Hood, talking about the border and border agents. Cut number three, please.
The role that Border Patrol agents play in ensuring security and safety at our borders is something that there's great value for in this administration.
Well, okay, if that's the case, then why aren't there more people securing the border? I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Always an honor to have Congressman Chip Roy from the great state of Texas with us. Congressman, what is the current situation down at our southern border?
Hey, Todd, always good to be on the show. Appreciate it. And, yeah, yesterday the White House liar in chief in the press secretary's office, Jen Psaki, you know, she literally lies as much as she breathes. I mean, I've never seen anything quite like it. You know, yesterday that clip you just played was in response to questions about the video that leaked of Border Patrol agents, line agents, questioning the leadership of DHS with Mayorkas sitting right there talking to the chief saying, what are you doing? Like, why aren't we actually doing our job? And, you know, we can talk about whether they've got enough manpower, whether they've got enough, you know, weapons, whether they've got the wall structures they need. They don't. They don't have the stuff that they need fully. But it really isn't a issue of that as much as they don't have the backing to do their job, to go enforce the law and to have policies that will cause people to be removed from this country or not allowed to enter. And that's what's actually going on. So we know the facts, right? 500,000 people were apprehended the last quarter of 21. We've had, you know, 1 million people last year that were either released or were known gotaways. 2 million apprehensions, fentanyl pouring into our communities, 100,000 dead Americans from opioid overdoses. This all by purposeful policies by the Mayorkas regime in the Biden administration. This is why we should impeach him. That's why we're going to be leaning into impeaching Mayorkas and have new and improved articles and making the case with memoranda distributed that we need to impeach Mayorkas. But Jen Psaki should be ashamed of herself, just literally leaving our Border Patrol agents there flapping in the wind. And this is why yesterday I sent a letter demanding that we actually see the alleged report and study being done about the alleged whipping incident, which we all know is bogus. And Jen Psaki and President Biden threw every Border Patrol agent under the bus, accusing them of whipping migrants when it was patently false. And now they're burying the report that would indicate that's the case.
That is in itself offensive. Why they slandered those border agents, and they knew, everybody knew, we all saw the video. There was video evidence, and yet they have not recanted anything they said. None of the allegations, Congressman.
No, they'll never recant it because look, they know the fact is they have nothing to sell the American people. The failed agenda that's making us more endangered because our streets are less safe, our borders are wide open, you know, terrorists are running amok in Afghanistan, Russia's rattling around the world, and these guys want to play the race card because the only thing they've got left to play. They are an absolute empty book. They got one trick, and that trick is playing the race card. You're seeing it unfold at Georgetown University, where the left is trying to oust the professor simply for commenting and free speech, and he's apologized about the art of the word, but it's a race-based effort to try to get somebody kicked out of a university to play that race card, the same race card they're playing with the voting fraud bill they're trying to push here in the federal level, the same race card that they're going to play when we have a hearing about voter ID, and they try to say that's the same as the poll tax. So when I question that, then they say that I'm somehow a white supremacist. These guys have no fuel in the tank All they've got is the ability to stand up and play the race card, and I'm sick and tired of it. And guess what? So are all the brown people in South Texas that these people say that are their voters. They're full of crap, and they're about to have a rude awakening.
And dare I say this, all of those brown people are not eligible to be a Supreme Court justice in the Biden administration.
Well, you know, excellent point, because it was the Democrats, speaking of the race card, who set out to destroy a man, Miguel Estrada, simply because he's an Hispanic conservative. Those are the facts. It happened. And Democrats have never been made to pay the consequences for destroying a good man simply because they didn't want to have a conservative Hispanic on the court. And now they want to get up and say, oh, we got to have a black woman. Well, it was Joe Biden who filibustered black woman Janice Rogers Brown because she was a conservative. This is all bull. It has nothing to do with wanting to have a black woman on the court. It has everything in the world to do with them wanting to play the race card to try to divide us, when we should be seeking to have a colorblind society where we pick the best person for the job. And you know who the best man for the job was in 1991? Clarence Thomas. And you know what? They don't want to admit that. They want to hide behind it after they filibustered Janice Rogers Brown, destroyed Miguel Estrada. Now they want to say, oh, we're going to pick a black woman. And then they want to destroy a good professor at Georgetown for daring to question it. But you know what? Your time is up. We're tired of these games.
And again, to borrow their talking points, it was the racism of the Democrat Party. Estrada was the first filibuster ever to be successfully used against a judicial nominee, even though he had the clear support of a majority of the Senate. So the Democrat leadership, they torpedoed this guy because of his ethnicity. It's just unbelievable. Again, we're playing their game, Congressman. You know, they play it on us all the time. We're going to throw it right back at them.
Absolutely. I'm sick of this stuff. We need to shove it right back down their throat. You want to call me a white supremacist? I'm going to shove your own record right down your throat, because you guys are the ones that are the racists playing the race card. I was there on the Senate Judiciary Committee. I know exactly what they had in those memos. They hid behind saying, oh, these memos, they were stolen off of some server. Look, if a Republican had left a memo in a manila folder sitting in the Judiciary Committee room and you had found it saying that we were trying to destroy a judge because that judge was some fill-in-the-blank characteristic, they would have nuked us for it. The fact is, we have absolute evidence that they were trying to kill Estrada because he's an Hispanic male, and they did, and they hurt his career. And it went on, and, you know, I'm not even going to get into some of the things that happened to him and his family as a result of it.
They destroyed him.
Ashamed of it. And Joe Biden was the ringleader. And that SOB needs to pay the consequences for that.
Congressman, I understand you're heated and you're fired up, and you should be. And it's appalling. And I appreciate you calling them out, because they need to. And more Republicans need to be just as indignant as you, sir, because we've got to put a stop to this. And I'm tired of them. The only reason they're putting a black female up is they know that any congressman who is not black or a person of color that criticizes the nominee will immediately be labeled as a racist.
No, that's exactly right. And they do that here in the halls of Congress all of the time, right? They try to put out bills and they call them some name that you can't oppose. And they name it after a civil rights icon, or they force us to take votes on every single thing so that they can go out and trumpet and play that race card. I refuse to play along. I'm not going to do it.
Good for you. And on that note, I wanted to get in. I hate to make a pivot here, but I did want to follow up on the border issue. These reports we're getting from all over America of airplanes landing in the dark of night, and they're just dumping grown adult men onto the tarmac. So we don't know who these people are. We don't know if they've been vetted. They've been tested for the China virus. They're just being unleashed into our towns and communities.
Well, you know what? We're seeing that. In fact, I saw an airplane dropping off of Westchester County. Of course, a little part of me says, good. I want to see some of these people in their tony little rich suburbs outside of Manhattan, understanding what we experience every single day in South Texas. The fact of the matter is, that's what's happening. They're doing it by dark of night. They're distributing people around the country by bus, by plane. We know that they've been dropping people off at the airport in San Antonio. We know that they're moving busloads of people. Hell, we had a hotel down on the border that was chock full of immigrants who are tested positive for COVID, and Catholic Charities was footing the bill. Look, this is an organized effort by leftists. In NGO, nonprofit organization, this administration, the United Nations, it's all purposeful. They're trying to blow up this country by driving a wedge between us. and open up and expose our border. We don't know who's coming across. We keep catching more and more people from dangerous countries that have, you know, state sponsors of terror. And we know that the cartels are getting enriched. We know that they're now moving dangerous opioids into the United States at unprecedented levels, and the American people are dying. The administration knows this. They don't care. That's why Mayorkas should be impeached, because he is disregarding our law and endangering the American people in disregarding the law and his oath of office. So we should impeach him for it.
All right, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. Always appreciate your frankness on these matters. We need more people like you within the Republican Party, sir.
Well, God bless you, Todd. You keep it up, and look forward to joining you again. Take care.
All right, sounds good. Congressman Chip Roy, everybody. And you heard him. He called President Biden an SOB, and with good reason. And I want to share some intel with you. He was talking about Miguel Estrada, who was named to the federal bench by George W. Bush. His name was put up for nomination. A very well-qualified man. There were internal Democrat memos that were leaked to the media. None other than Senate Minority Whip Dick Durbin. And again, Joe Biden was in, he was the ringleader of all of this. And they, in these memorandums that were, and you can Google this, we'll post links to it up on our live show blog. But these internal memorandums mentioned that liberal interest groups wanted to keep Estrada off the court because they feared that he might be a future Supreme Court nominee. And they specifically mentioned his Latino roots. They said his Latino roots might make his nomination difficult to oppose. It was all racist. The Democrats stopped the Republicans, and they successfully filibustered a man who would have been confirmed to the federal bench. But they stopped it. The Democrats stopped it because of the man's race. And we have the evidence. We have the memorandums. This is not up for dispute. And we're going to get into what Whoopi Goldberg said after the break here. But every time the Democrats and the media tell you that Donald Trump is a racist, that he's a xenophobe, that he's a homophobe, that he doesn't like people south of the border, it's not true. And they are projecting, because time after time, we have learned that when the Democrats call someone a racist, it is in fact the Democrats who are the racist. And we have the proof here. And the mainstream media that like to cover this up, you got a bunch of stupid people right out of college that are now working at the networks. It used to be you had to work in the industry 10, 15 years before you made it to the networks. Now you get a job right out of college. And those kids know nothing. They know nothing. And they're covering these stories, and they don't know the story when it slaps them upside the head. That's the problem here. So anyway, I appreciate the congressman and his righteous indignation, because it is righteous. And he is right to call out the sorry so-and-so racist, because that's all they are. That's all they are. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
It's finally here, the Macy's Friends and Family Sale with an extra 30% off gifts they'll love. Get an extra 25% off dressed-up designer looks for kids from Calvin Klein and more, plus an extra 25% off Samsonite and Delsey luggage. With great prices from top designers, Macy's has all the best deals you won't want to miss this week. And don't forget to sign up for a Macy's card or use a coupon to get 15% off beauty products they'll love this season. Click here to download the Macy's app today for great holiday deals at Macy's.
Well, Mitt Romney is really upset. So just a few moments ago, we shared with you the breaking news out of Salt Lake City, where the Republicans are gathered for their winter meeting, and they have officially censored Liz Cheney, the daughter of Dick, and Adam Kinzinger. They are now censured, and the way this worked And the way this apparently works is they will not be getting any help. They will not be getting any assistance from the RNC because of their involvement on the January 6th committee. So anyway, Mitt Romney, old Willard, he took to Twitter. He's very upset. Shame falls on a party that would censure persons of conscience who seek truth in the face of vitriol. Honor attaches to who talks like this? I mean, really, does anybody talk like this in America today? Honor attaches to Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger for seeking truth, even when doing so comes at great personal cost. I know I ended that with a question, but that I feel like that's the way it was written. So Romney's very upset about all of this. You know, I wish Romney was as upset about losing to Barack Hussein Obama than he is upset about Liz Cheney, the daughter of Dick, getting, quite frankly, what she asked for. I mean, really, what are, I mean, you've got, this was unanimous. There were no dissenters. This was unanimous. We've got the video. We just posted it up at toddstearns.com. You can see it for yourself. So, I mean, right or wrong, the party has decided this is the path that we're going down. Now, you can agree or disagree with Liz Cheney. And I was one of those people a few years back who thought she'd be a great presidential candidate one day. But for whatever reason, the establishment Republicans are enraged that we turned our back on Jeb Bush. Keep in mind, that's who they wanted. It wasn't Ted Cruz. It was Jeb. That's who they felt like was the next person in line. Now, the Republicans have a fatal flaw in their presidential selection process. Well, they had a fatal flaw up until Donald Trump came in and blew it all up. Now, here's the philosophy of the Republicans. The person that's going to be our nominee is not necessarily the best person to be president. It's the person who is next in line. That's how it operates. Ronald Reagan tried to upend that, and he got smacked around by Gerald Ford. And what happened? Well, the Republicans went down in defeat. So there were these moments, and one of them was Ronald Reagan's presidency, and the other was Donald Trump's, where the base of the party finally rose up and said, you know, we're not gonna go down this path. You say, well, what made Ronald Reagan different? Ronald Reagan brought into the fold of the Republican Party the evangelical Christians, the so-called, at the time, you might remember, Jerry Falwell Sr. and Pat Robertson, it was the moral majority. And that was really the birth of this movement where the Republican Party began to embrace the big culture war issues of the day. And here we are so many years later. And the same thing happened to some extent, not so much with the religious community. I mean, no doubt that Trump had to wine and dine, and by wine and dine for you Baptist, a grapefruit juice and dine, the evangelicals. And the president did that. And that doesn't make you a bad person if you voted for Donald Trump. I mean, some of these evangelical leaders out there, the Russell Moores and David French's and all that crowd, geez, oh, Christianity Today, I mean, geez, aloo, they act like if you voted for Donald Trump, you're a horrible human being. Okay. Well, whatever. Meanwhile, you've got Barack Hussein Obama out there. And again, going back to this, Mitt Romney had the opportunity to take out Barack Obama. And he took a pass because he wanted to be a nice guy. So we will. But the whole reason they hate Trump is that the establishment thought it was Jeb Bush's turn. And we, the people, said otherwise. So there you go. Got to get over it, folks. I mean, you everybody talks about Trump wanting to get over it. You know what? Liz Cheney's got to get over it. So does Adam Kinzinger. Hey, got to take a break here. We'll be right back, folks. So when was the last time you went into one of these assisted living, retirement homes? You know what I'm talking about? They have the these are really nice facilities, and if you're, you know, let's say you're 55 or older and you want to move in, it's a retirement community. You have your own place, and you're able to congregate with other old folks or older folks or seasoned Americans.
It's kind of like living in a resort.
Pretty much, or like a dorm.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah, a little nicer than a dorm, actually.
But Grace, so I was visiting around. I'm just looking at some options for down the road. And there are some nice developments here in the Memphis area.
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh.
I was ignoring that laugh. Mm-hmm. No, but just think about this, all right? So here we are in the middle of an ice storm right now. I was driving home yesterday, and I saw house after house after house that had massive tree limbs that were either on top of the roof or were protruding through the roof.
Yeah.
And some people, their pipes froze up. And I thought to myself, do I really want to get a house?
Fair.
And I'm thinking, you know, you got to mow the grass.
A lot of upkeep.
You got to, yeah, it's just a lot of upkeep.
Mm-hmm.
The water heater goes out, you've got to fix it. Air conditioning goes out, you've got to fix it. And that's not necessarily the way it works in a condo association.
Yeah, I live in a townhouse, so.
So you know.
Very similar situation.
So if something happens, you pick up the phone and you call the whoever, and they come and fix it.
Exactly.
So anyway, that's what I'm thinking about. I'm not going to say I'm doing it. I'm just thinking about it. So I go into this place, and it's the weirdest thing. So when you think about old people and music, what kind of music do you think old people listen to?
Right off the Frank Sinatra.
Sinatra.
I love Frank Sinatra.
No, I get it. Benny Goodman.
Yeah.
All right. So just think about this. The people who are senior citizen age right now that are eligible to move in, like at the bare minimum.
Yes.
Those are people from the 70s and 80s.
Oh.
Those people were not listening to Frank Sinatra and Benny Goodman. They were listening to, this is kind of shocking, Madonna.
That's what I was thinking.
And
Madonna.
Cyndi Lauper.
Yep.
And Culture Club. So
Tears
I'm just,
for fears.
Yeah, I'm just wondering why is it when you walk into these senior citizen homes, they're not playing the music of their generation, their age.
That's a good point.
So can you imagine though? I mean, what that's going to look like?
Oh gosh! By the time I'm old enough, they'll be playing Cardi B, Eesh.
Justin Bieber, without
Weeknd.
Teeth. Yeah, poor fella. Oh Jesus.
Oh, this would be your assisted living home song, I think.
No, that would be a nightmare assisted living home song. ABBA is definitely... ABBA's got to be on the list for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, good Lord. What was there was a great... Did you see there was a Netflix special about some big European music competition?
Eurovision,
thank you.
I watched that.
Well, that's
hilarious.
That's what ABBA is. They won some big competition
great
back in
movie.
The day. It's a funny movie. I mean, it really is.
It is a really funny movie.
But there's a lot of truth to that. That's basically American Idol without the blonde-haired Swedish people.
Yep.
That's what it is. So I was, I'm like, if you are moving into a retirement home, when you hit a certain age, you just don't revert back to your great-great-grandparents listened to.
Good point.
Right?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
But can you imagine there will be keggers and things like that at the old folks' home?
I don't know.
You don't think so?
I don't know.
There was a study done about the Villages, America's friendliest hometown.
Yes.
And if you haven't been there, you've got to go. It's kind of like Disney World for old people with golf carts. And everybody decorates the golf carts. I mean, they're like really highfalutin.
I'm imagining like in the show Seinfeld when... the parents move down there to Florida.
Massive.
They go to visit, and
it's like
a resort.
That's it. And it's beautiful. I mean, you've got to worry about the golf carts. They will run you over.
Oh, yeah.
They will.
Don't get between those people
in
the buffet.
Get off my lawn!
Better watch out.
They do have the restaurants and the buffets and the dancing, but there was a documentary done on the Villages, and the STDs at the Villages off the charts, Grace.
Ew. Disgusting.
Getting a little handsy down there.
Ugh.
I know grandpa's fooling around.
That.
I'm serious.
I don't need to know all that.
There's all
TMI.
Sorts of. So they did a documentary, and it's kind of like the darker side of the Villages.
You got that right.
It's America's friskiest hometown.
Clearly.
Anyway, all that to say, it just struck me as odd. I'm like, wow, they're playing like Frank Sinatra and big band music from the 40s. That makes no sense to me.
It's classic.
So, like, my dad, you know, who passed away several years back, I mean, he was a child of the 60s. So, I mean, even if you're – we have a garden. I'll give you a great example. And I think this is just a mindset of young people because they're stupid and don't know anything.
Dang.
And so, no, seriously, just bear with me for a second. So, we have a garden show that we air on KWAM here in Memphis on Saturdays. Most popular garden show in the whole Mid-South. And when we first started running the show, the musical intros were like, good morning, it's time now for the garden show. And, you know, it had like a little, you know, little guitar music, like, you know, just soft and like whatever. And so our garden show hosts are, I don't know, I guess they're in their 50s, early 60s.
Yeah.
So I pulled them aside one day and I said, I'm just curious, what kind of music do you got? Are you guys easy listening music people, or what kind of music do you listen to? And so Jim Crowder, who's like the one of the host, says, well, no, I'm kind of a southern rocker. And I'm like, you see, exactly. So I went back to our production people. I'm like, we got to do something here. I said, this is not like 1940s garden show. You know, we're a rocking, we want a rocking garden show.
Want to wake you up right.
Get dirty in the garden.
Oof.
Well, dirty because you're, you know, you're digging stuff. You got okay. Dirt. I'm just saying. That's all. So anyway, it's just sort of weird. There's really not a point to that at all.
Okay, I was wondering where the point was.
No, there is no point.
It's Friday.
It is Friday, but at the same time, you're like, huh? You know, is there a certain point where you turn 65 and you ditch your, I don't know, the Doobie Brothers or whatever, and you replace it with, you know,
Martha Ray. And, I like the Doobie Brothers.
No, I love the Doobie Brothers. But I'm just saying.
You know, when I went to that concert in New Orleans, one guy came up to me. He was in a wheelchair and he rolled up to me and he goes, I'm so happy to see someone so young here.
Well, they're all old.
I know. He was like, you're a young person and you're here to see the Doobie Brothers. I was like, yes, yes, I am.
By the way, Jimmy Buffett. I'm not a parrot head, but I like Jimmy Buffett.
Okay.
He's good. He was on Blue Blood. No, what is it called? The show that I watch all the time. Blue Bloods? On Fridays.
I don't know
on
what you
CBS.
Watch all the time.
The Tom Selleck. You should, Grace Baker. You're the executive producer. You should know all.
I know you watch Yellowstone, and I know you watch The Crown. And
1883 is the prequel to Yellowstone, and it is unbelievable.
Okay, then there's that. I know you like Downton Abbey.
Everybody loves Raymond.
Everybody loves Raymond. Brady Bunch. Andy Griffith.
I love Andy Griffith. Brady
Bunch.
Going
through shows and you're not stopping me. I guess it's Blue Bloods. I've heard of
Blue Bloods. What do I call it? Blood Brothers or Blue Bloods.
No, it's Blue Bloods.
Tom Selleck.
You're good.
It's Friday.
You're good.
Stop. I don't want to answer a lot of tough questions today. This audio just in, this is terrible. The governor of Virginia, Glenn Youngkin, is in a supermarket minding his own business when some big-boned woman wearing a face burqa starts yelling at the governor.
Governor, where's your mask?
Well, we're all making choices today.
Yes, look around you, Governor. You're in Alexandria.
Yeah, you know, I hear that was the back and forth. They had a security agent because, I mean, she could have been a linebacker of that one. And I guess maybe security was afraid she might try to, you know, do something to the governor. I mean, here the governor is minding his own business. I don't know what he's doing at the supermarket. What do I care? Unless he's buying me groceries. But you got some woman, and wow, how would you like to be married to that, guys?
Governor, where's your mask? This is Alexandria.
Jeez, Lord. Anyway, so that just happened. And, you know, I'm honestly glad these videos exist so that we can truly demonstrate and illustrate what the left is really like. Just out of curiosity, I mean, seriously, when you're, you know, and I've seen the Charlie Kirk crowd. You know, they used to do that all the time. They used to go confront people in the public and whatever. And okay, I get it. I don't understand why. You know, I don't want people to do that to me. If they would, I would have, you know, I'd have just, you know, shot back at the lady. You know, you fire back. But anyway, good for the governor. He didn't seem to be terribly bothered by it.
Governor!
Jeez, Alu. Unbelievable. All right, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Grace Baker, there is a story in my stack of stuff here about Dalmatians and bulldogs. And the headline is very puzzling. Should these five cruelest dogs to be bred be banned?
Yes. This was my...
They should be banned?
No, that's not what I meant. So let me explain, because this headline's a little misleading from the New York Post, okay? When they say cruelest, they mean it's cruel to breed them, because over in Norway, they have just now banned... You cannot breed bulldogs or Cavalier King Charles Spaniels anymore.
Why not?
Because apparently there's a lot of backyard breeding going on and a lot of health concerns. Because, you know, bulldogs already have a bunch of problems. They can barely breathe. You have to help them give birth. They cannot give birth by themselves.
What?
They have to have C-sections.
What?
Yeah. And I'm like, I love all dogs, but I have a little bit of trouble with a dog that can't, like, survive on its own in theory. Like, it can't, you know, reproduce on its own. It has to have human help. I'm like, why does that exist?
So your dog, so they say Dalmatians are deaf. Is that right?
Okay,
is your dog deaf?
No, mine's not deaf. So one
of
the
sign language?
They can learn sign language, actually. But mine's not deaf.
How do they learn sign language? They have opposable thumbs.
Not like that. You can use your sign language to teach them tricks. They don't do sign, not like that.
Well, I don't know. I don't own a dog. All right, so
Merlo's not deaf. She hears me every time I open a bag of popcorn to pop it. She runs in the kitchen.
Well, I guess my question is why are they so concerned about, why are Dalmatians on the list?
Because according to the article, they have trouble with deafness and other things. But the thing is, fire departments want the Dalmatian to be deaf because then they're not bothered by all the loud noises and the sirens. So
well,
I don't get that one.
Wow. Maybe that's the kind of dog we need for the show.
Yeah.
So when we have liberals call in.
Can't hear a thing.
All right. There you go. All right. Well, best of luck tomorrow. I was just going to sign up for sign language so I could say hello to your dog. So anyway. Hey, folks. A big, huge thank you to our friends at Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. And they're doing some great work. They're going to be there at all the major events. And I hope you drop by. If you're at one of these big, like CPAC, for example, drop by and say hello and say thank you for supporting the Todd Stearns radio program. Patriot Mobile, again, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. And they help support conservative causes. And by the way, if you are a veteran or first responder, they're going to hook you up with incredible discounts on top of the discounts you're already going to get just for making the switch. All you have to do is use the promo code Todd. You're going to get free activation and a free gift. All you need to do is go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. Or you can give them a call, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. And you get to keep your phone number, which I think makes it super easy. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Use the promo code Todd.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Stearns.
Wingstop's doing what they do best, taking flavor to the next level. So when chicken sandwiches only came in spicy and plain, Wingstop said, nah, make it 12 flavors. Lemon pepper chicken sandwich, OG hot, mango habanero. You get the picture? Every famous Wingstop flavor, now on the new Wingstop chicken sandwich. Try all 12 and find your favorite at Wingstop, where flavor gets its wings. Huh.
All right, so more fallout over there at Spotify. Now, the Obamas, President Obama and Mike, Michelle. I almost said Michael. My apologies. That was a slip of the tongue. It happens. It's been a long week. And here we are in the final segment of the final show of the week. So my apologies. Anyway, Barack and I almost did it again. Barack and Michelle Obama are apparently looking at leaving Spotify because of Joe Rogan. They're very upset that Joe Rogan is allowed to say what he says. So I say, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord splits you, Barack. That's what I say. Vanity Fair reporting, with his outsized media footprint, no F's given hosting style, and an estimated 11 million listeners per episode, Rogan is, like it or not, the face of Spotify's podcasting play. It's a face that comes with the voluble anti-woke bona fides, a hyper-macho sensibility. What? Just because he's a man? That's hyper-macho? He's not one of little Barack Hussein Obama's pajama boy snowflakes? He has a hyper-macho sensibility somewhere between MAGA and Bernie bro, and most problematically, a warm embrace of vaccine skepticism. And it goes on and on and on. They're very upset that apparently men and young men enjoy listening to Joe Rogan and watching his podcast. Oh, apparently Harry and Meghan, the ex-royals, is that who let him in the country? That's what you see, this is why we need strong border security. We don't need those people coming in here. They produced a 33-minute holiday special, inking a $25 million Spotify contract. The Obama, whose deal is rumored to be in the same ballpark, you know what? So fine. If that's the case, save $50 million and give them the heave-ho, Spotify. Why do you need a Harry and Meghan? I just don't understand that. That makes no sense whatsoever. So anyway, a lot of washed up music stars from the 60s and 70s are among those who have already bolted Spotify. And again, Spotify just needs to tell these people, don't let them hit you where the good Lord splits you. That as you go out the door. Unbelievable. By the way, heads up, all of you Memphis listeners, and this is horrible news. It could be days before your power comes back on. And the reason why is very simple. They have apparently cut budgets, so they don't have enough. They did not take enough time to cut back trees. And so when all the trees fell over, you know, and again, it's folks, this city, this region has been controlled by Democrats for generations, going back at least 50 years. So when you want to blame somebody, maybe you need to be looking at your city leaders. And I know that the power company is not part of the city, but you need to be looking at city leaders demanding to have some very tough conversations about the infrastructure. So I hope you bundle up. It's going to be very cold. A lot of house fires out there as we just wait for the lights to come back on. 120,000 customers. That's about, I would say, 300,000, 400,000 people in the dark right now listening to this radio show on a transistor radio. Folks, I want to thank our great team here, Grace and Kyle. As for all of us, get out there. Have a great Friday. Be sure to go to church this weekend.